ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
For the first time, media reports have revealed the origin of a so-called nest of spies operating in Australia and removed by intelligence services 4 years ago. Here's ASIO Chief Mike Burgess giving his annual threat assessment back in 2021.
One of our investigations focused on a nest of spies from a particular foreign intelligence service that was operating in our country. These spies developed targeted relationships with current and former politicians, a foreign embassy, and a state police service. They monitored their country's diaspora community. They tried to obtain classified information about Australia's trade secrets. ASIO acted. We confronted the foreign spies and quietly and professionally removed them from our country. And I'm not going to name who it was.
The Washington Post has revealed that nest of spies Mike Burgess was referring to was made up of Indian intelligence officers. They were working for the same state-run agency the Washington Post now claims was behind a high-profile assassination attempt on American soil. Greg Miller is the Washington Post's international investigative correspondent who broke the story. He joins us from London. Welcome back to RM Breakfast.
Thanks very much.
What can you tell us about who these spies were that were kicked out of Australia in 2020?
Well, so what we know is that they were working there under diplomatic cover as part of the Indian diplomatic mission. And my understanding is that neither of these spies was the senior Indian intelligence officer in the country, but they were among others caught who engaged in, you know, in a pattern of behavior that Australian officials took great exception to, that they were cultivating sources within police departments, trying to gather information on sensitive security arrangements at airports. They were monitoring the Indian Sikh population in Australia, and it became quite a serious thing.
So who is the research and analysis wing, or RAW, the state-run agency supposedly behind this nest of spies?
So India's RAW is, you know, they're India's foreign intelligence service. It's got a really innocuous bureaucratic name, Research and Analysis Wing. But their history and their mission has been foreign intelligence collection, foreign intelligence operations. For most of the past several decades, they were seen as kind of a regional player, preoccupied with proxy wars with Pakistan and along the border with Pakistan. But under Prime Minister Modi, they're venturing much farther from India's immediate neighborhood.
And India has been described as a practitioner of transnational repression. What does that mean, and how did it work in Australia?
Transnational repression is a term, and it's a fairly recent one, I think, that's being used to describe conduct by countries that reach into the sovereign territory of other nations to harass, to suppress, to surveil their own people, or in the cases of these two cases in the United States and Canada, actually went so far as to try to kill them.
And what do we know about RAW's involvement in other spying operations, especially what you just referred to, the assassination plots in the US and Canada, where a Sikh leader was killed last year?
Yes, so extremely serious cases in North America, and quite astonishing, really. I think this really caught Washington off guard, the idea that India would even consider carrying out an operation like this in the United States, let alone set one in motion. These cases, this was a planned assassination of a Sikh activist in New York City that coincided with the killing of one of his associates, another prominent Sikh activist in Canada. But these two cases were part of a much broader effort by India to keep tabs on and intimidate, as we said, their Sikh population and communities in Australia, in the United Kingdom, elsewhere in Europe, including in Germany. This became a big, big issue and a big priority for Modi and his government.
You report that the state-run agency has engaged with criminals on their operations. What do you know about that?
Well, in these cases in the United States, the Indian Intelligence Service didn't send its own operatives to New York to try to kill the Sikh activist who was their target. What they did was they used a middleman, somebody in India, an alleged drug and weapons trafficker, to try to hire a hit team, to try to work through criminal networks to hire somebody who would do this killing for them in the United States. This failed spectacularly in the United States because India made a huge mistake, that the person they contacted to try to set this up turned out to be an informant for U.S. authorities. And so the U.S. government was onto this from the very beginning. In Canada, there was a very different outcome. They did turn to a criminal network there near Vancouver. And in fact, as you know, the Sikh activist in Vancouver was gunned down in his car as he was leaving a temple and in the city of Surrey.
And Australia's action in kicking these spies out, how significant is that?
Well, it shows you how seriously Australia regarded this conduct by Indian intelligence officers. I mean, to put it in some context, the United States and the Biden administration is so worried about keeping its relationship with India on an even keel that it has not done that despite there being an assassination plot on U.S. soil. The U.S. hasn't sanctioned any Indian government officials, hasn't expelled anyone, but Australia did so, and so did Canada. And the Australian officials that I spoke with for our story said that this was a reflection of how serious these violations of the kind of rules of Australian laws and the expectations of foreign intelligence services that are allowed to have a presence in the country.
That's an interesting point you make, because of course there are sensitivities here in Australia as well, and that relationship with India is something that the Australian government is very serious about economically and of course strategically as well with the Quad. So what are the implications of Australia taking this tough action?
Well, I think that, you know, despite taking this tough action, it looks like Australia as well tried to sort of contain the fallout here, right? I mean, your intelligence chief didn't identify India. It wasn't until our story revealed this detail just this week that it became clear that this nest of spies, that he in fact was referring to India. He did not name India, did not name Ra at the time. And I think that was largely and is part of this very understandable effort to try to maintain the relationship and not have this lead to a bigger rupture with the Indian government, because there's so much concern in the West about China and the threat that it poses long-term, strategically, competitively, et cetera, that the United States, Canada, Australia, European governments really want to have close ties with India as a partner and an ally in this emerging global competition.
In Australia, this is particularly interesting because all eyes have been, as you know, on China. This changes that dynamic significantly to sort of show that there is an emphasis on another country that doesn't get the same level of scrutiny. How does that alter our understanding of where we should be looking?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because we've had this, as we wrote in our story, these cases in the United States led to confrontations with India over this conduct. I think India obviously didn't expect for all of this to be exposed, didn't expect for these expulsions in Australia, this attempted assassination in the United States, this actual murder in Canada to become such a big issue and to blow things up in such a way. So it will be interesting to see whether India sees this and sort of backs away from this and perhaps comes to think that perhaps it went too far or let things get a bit out of control and kind of pulls back a bit. But India is also, under Modi, sees itself as a rising power, as entitled to carry out these kinds of operations and kind of tired of being lectured to by Western governments. And you can see it in the reaction to our story on social media over the past 24 hours. Well, many, many responses that we've seen saying, this is actually, we're proud of our government for having done this sort of thing. We're a big league player now, and the West needs to come to terms with that.
Wow, that's fascinating. Prime Minister Narendra Modi is currently contesting a federal election, seeking a rare third term in office. How could a Modi win influence India's espionage activity overseas?
Well, I think Modi, you know, it's interesting to see how this has played out for him, these allegations, these cases in the United States, in an interesting way, Modi and his party have taken advantage of this and don't shy away from it. I mean, as we note in the story we wrote, just a few weeks ago, Modi in a campaign event is talking about his government as one that is willing to pursue India's enemies in a way that no other Indian government has. And he literally said, this new India will come to your home and kill you if you're trying to harm us. He routinely poses with rifles, with riding in tanks, flying in fighter jets. I mean, the strongman authoritarian person is this image that he really tries to cultivate. And I just don't see, I think India will have to be more careful and perhaps put some new restraints on its intelligence services, but I don't see them backing down.
Thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me. Very nice. Thank you.
Greg Miller is the Washington Post's international investigative correspondent. The Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade declined to comment on the nest of spies claims. RM Breakfast also sought interviews with ASIO and the Indian consulate in Canberra. Both declined.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.